This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. It's WOSU's spring membership drive. More about that in just a moment. It's impossible to ignore or avoid the presence of AI in our everyday lives. From AI chatbots to more advanced writing tools, it feels like it's everywhere around us. And is it friend or foe? And how should we best harness this power in the ever-changing world of technology to use in our everyday lives? That's where our next two guests come in. They're AI experts. Peter Swain helps people and companies decode artificial intelligence through his talks, courses, and books. He is the creator of Mastering the Fundamentals of AI, From Basics to Brilliance. Welcome to All Sides, Peter.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
And also joining us is John Hirsch, founder of The AI Dude. He is a leading expert in digital communications and artificial intelligence integration for organizations. Welcome to All Sides, Josh.
Hi, good morning, Jamie. Happy to be here.
Now, Peter, you've said that AI can elevate humanity if done correctly. And what do you mean by that whenever you say if done correctly?
Oh, well, you start with an easy question. AI has this capability to accelerate what we do. And then the question then comes as the next question of what is it that we're going to do with it? I used to run marketing agencies, and a long time ago I was asked to write this piece for Wired back in the early 2000s. And the piece I was asked to write was, is the internet a force for good or a force for evil? And it took me months to write this until I realized that the question itself was flawed, that the internet is just a representation of the human condition. Right? For every good thing it does, connecting families and access to healthcare and all these wonderful things, like we're here today courtesy of the internet, it also has some pretty seedy side effects and some things that we wish wouldn't happen. So every technology really has the same arc of it can empower amazingly, brilliantly wonderful things, but it can also empower some pretty crazy things. I read a statistic the other day that said that phishing attacks are up 12,000% year on year. That is obviously not good. But on the flip side, we have AI that is diagnosing breast cancer with 99.9% accuracy within weeks, not within years, which is obviously a really great thing. So it becomes a question of regulation, deregulation, global consensus of where are we going to let this thing loose and where are we going to put some constraints around it. I think that would be a good way of putting it.
And Josh, what about your take on AI? Is it something to be embraced? Is there a little fear in there? Is it kind of a little bit of both?
I definitely think it's a little bit of both. First off, we want to make sure we're using ethically and responsibly. But I think that fear or that scared factor comes into being more overwhelmed by it, not knowing what is possible. And as Peter said, we're really only limited by our imagination, I think, at this point. If we can visualize what we want to accomplish, really there's nothing off the table anymore between using generative and predictive AI.
And Peter, you have been described as a futurist. Can you tell me about what do you think is meant by that whenever you call yourself a futurist?
I try not to call myself a futurist.
Okay. But, well, I read it. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those job titles. It's like, oh, really? So I was one of the first web developers in the world. I had the 32nd listing on Yahoo ever. And I ran the first mobile agency that I know of in Europe. Throughout history, I've been blessed with being able to see a technology and not see what it's happening on day zero of that technology, but understanding what it's going to unlock and unleash in humanity. And I find the people saying, there's still some people out there going, generative AI, it doesn't really do anything. It's just a bit of a party trick. I'm like, my first interaction with the web was downloading Sun Tzu's The Art of War from the University of Phoenix, and it took me 8 days to do it.
8 days.
8 days on my 9K US robotics modem as the connection crashed and I had to redial and restart and redial and restart. But even then, what I understood was that my footprint had swapped, I was 17 at the time, had swapped from what my mum was willing to drop me off to, like 20 miles if I was lucky. And my footprint was now the entire world. Then when mobile came around, what I saw was that it was an untethering, because the web was obviously amazing, but it tethered us all to our desktops, which isn't particularly healthy for us as humans. What mobile allowed us to do was be untethered. We could now work with anyone, courtesy of the web, and work anywhere, courtesy of mobile. So when AI came around in earnest in the last couple of years, it changes all the rules. And it no longer constrains, as Josh just very rightly said, it no longer constrains us by the frailties of things like sleep and hormones and sickness and food and all these beautiful human things that we need, AI doesn't need. So it can go and do those things and get rid of the jobs from our life that we wish we would never had, and allow us to do the things we wish we could do.
And Josh, you do a lot of work in that area. Your work as the AI dude focuses a lot on the nonprofit world. How have you seen AI in recent years helping nonprofits, especially, I guess, maybe in fundraising?
Well, it goes beyond just fundraising. I think it's about creating equitability and access to organizations of all sizes. Imagine yourself with great desire for making social impact. You provide after-school arts education programs, but you've got a small budget and a lean team. Now, using generative AI through through bots, agents, custom GPTs, whatever, word you want to insert, you now have a virtual director of advocacy, a director of mission and communication. You have roles that are based upon best practice, based upon industry guidelines, as well as your own organization's, language and style and tone. And you're taking on these personas and perspectives to do more with less. We now have superpowers that we knew we wanted to accomplish, but now we have the ability to do it. And it's not like generative AI is new to the scene. Like, if we think about it going back 30, 40 years, look at Microsoft Clippy. Right? That little assistant was generative AI before we knew what generative AI was. We've been living with Siri, we've been living with Alexa, Hulu and Netflix, all the algorithms under the hood, it's all AI. But now it's because of November 22nd, 2022, when ChatGPT came on the scene with the beta launch, that we had a way to talk to the computer to accomplish what we want. So over these last 2 years, and it's crazy to think that it's only been 2 years that we've had this access. The growth in the sector of Gen AI from third-party tools and the services and software we use, how AI is now being baked into it more and more. It's not whether you're going to use AI, it's whether you're going to use it actively, because it is so passive in so many things we're doing. When you're typing an email to someone in Gmail and it wants to pre-populate the rest of your sentence, that is generative AI. So people need to realize that it is all parts of our lives. Now we just have this superpower to do more based upon what we're trying to accomplish.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm your host, Amy Juravich. And this is our spring membership drive. Remember that listener support is the foundation of our budget. Make a gift right now at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. And for this hour only, we have a special offer. Give in any amount and automatically receive access to a special course on artificial intelligence. This course is called Mastering the Fundamentals of AI from Basics to Brilliance. Make a gift in any amount and support public radio today, and we'll send you a link to access this amazing and helpful AI course. This is a study at your own pace online course that teaches anyone out there the fundamentals of using AI. What you learn can be used both in your personal and professional life. It is 17 chapters and 46 modules, and you'll be learning from a true expert today, our guest today, Peter Swaim. We're going to talk more about the course and what you'll learn throughout the hour, but what's important to know right now is that you can give at any level, any amount, truly, and you will get this course as your thank you gift. What we're looking for is participation this hour. Make a gift and join us as a member on 89.7 NPR News. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You can give $5 a month or $10 a month. You can make a one-time gift of $50 or $100. You decide what fits into your budget, and then your thank you gift will be access to this AI course. And remember, we are listener-supported public radio. Listeners like you give what they can to support the news and information that you depend on. If having local news on the radio is important to you, then give now. You'll be supporting shows like All Sides and shows from NPR, like Morning Edition, Here and Now, and All Things Considered. Plus, you're supporting local journalism. The award-winning WOSU News team covers Central Ohio for you. You'll be supporting your future listening with a gift today. Give at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. And Peter, I wanted to talk to you about this course that you developed. So you decided to make it a kind of go at your own pace kind of course. Did you find that that's the way that most people want to learn something? They kind of like decide when they're taking it and how they want to take it and how much they want to take in at a time?
Well, we created our mastermind, which is kind of our flagship product, in January 23, because what Josh described on November the 22nd is what I've always called the humanization moment of the moment that it just makes sense. So like for the web, it was the invention of the browser, because again, the web was around for decades before we had Internet Explorer, NCSA, Mosaic, Netscape Navigator, these kind of tools. The web was around for decades before that. But it was the browser that made people go, oh, I get it. Same with the iPhone. And this will age our audience slightly, but the Nokia 9110 communicator was an awesome phone. Like one of the best phones I've ever owned. I missed the thing. The Palm Pilot, mobile computing was around before the iPhone. But the iPhone 3GS was the one that made everyone make sense. And ChatGPT, honestly, I think their best invention was putting it as a WhatsApp type conversation, because that's what people went, oh, so I'm just chatting to it. Like, yeah, you just type and it just types back, and people are like, oh, I get it. So what we find is the pace of learning is quite weird. It's nothing, and then what people get is an Excalibur moment, is how we refer to it, of like they feel like they've just touched Excalibur. And I've watched so many people do it, and they still do it. It's so fun. They actually back away from their keyboard when they get that first moment. They go, it can't have just done that. And then from there, their pace of adoption is instant. Like, it's okay, I need to understand this, I need to get through this. And it's different for everybody. My eureka moment was my son was finding it hard to learn to read, so I did what every good dad would do, and I went onto Amazon to buy a bunch of books, and then I was like, I wonder if ChatGPT could do this for me. So I sat with ChatGPT for 2 hours, and I wrote my son Sam the space pirate visits the mutant moon, and he had to rescue his sister, and our dog was his horse, and he put down Minecraft as I gave him this thing, and he said, daddy, you wrote me a book. I'm like, yeah. And he tore that thing, like he read it from cover to cover, back, forward, left, right, and center. And then we did another one, and then we did another one, and then we did another. And every time we did it, we increased the reading age a little bit. And he's now 7 with the reading age of a 12-year-old. And it was that first moment where I handed him a book that I had written. I didn't have the skills or capability. I didn't know how do you write a children's book? I don't know. But ChatGPT did. So as a collaborative exercise between us, my son now reads like a 12-year-old, and he's 7. And when he was 5, he was reading like a 4-year-old. So when we talk about how does AI help enlighten and elevate humanity, well, that's kind of my example. So I find that everyone has that moment when they realize what this can do, and that it's not scary and it's not confusing and it's not overwhelming. It's just there to help them. And then they explode really, really quickly. And it's really fun to watch.
That's a great story. Josh, as working as the AI dude, when organizations bring you in to help them understand how AI can help their business, what do you tell them, people who are nervous about it or maybe don't think they'll be able to understand?
I like to always do a session where we talk about what are those speed bumps that you're experiencing in your organization, because there are no more problems, right? There's opportunities for a solution. And it's walking through what are those things throughout my day that are either monotonous or things that I would want to do and accomplish, but I either have too long of a to-do list, I don't know how to do it. So like as Peter was saying, you know, he created these storybooks for his son. He didn't know how to necessarily do it, but he talked to the computer, explained in natural conversation what he wanted to accomplish. And one of the key things that I always say, no matter where you are in your journey using AI, you could have been using it, you know, for 2 years now or just 2 months, literally open up whatever tool you want, ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, Claude, it doesn't matter. At the core, at the end of the day, understanding how to talk to the computer through both training and prompt engineering is key. But I always say, open up a prompt and say, hey, ChatGPT, this is who I am. This is the role I play for this organization. We're interested in incorporating AI into our workflow. Where do we begin? And having AI teach me how to use AI is the simplest and easy way just to get our feet wet and step into this wonderful world of Gen AI.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and if you enjoy listening to this show that covers everything from the news of the day to arts and culture to the latest in technology, this is the time to become a member. This is listener-supported public radio. Give in any amount right now and show your support for this show, and we have a great thank you gift for this hour only. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Carlo from Dublin and Deirdre Justin from Westerville. Thank you for your gifts of support. This hour, we're talking about artificial intelligence. This is a topic that is everywhere, and it's touching every aspect of our lives. And if you would like to understand AI a little bit better and perhaps use it to enhance your life, then we have a perfect thank you gift for you this hour. But you have to give this hour. Give in any amount, and WOSU will send you access to the course AI Fundamentals. This course will teach you everything you need to know about AI from start to finish. The host of the course is Peter Swain, who's one of our guests today. And Peter says this course will teach you to be more productive, make more money, get time back. No previous tech experience is needed to take this course. Peter is going to teach you everything you need to know along the way. This is 89.7 NPR News, and this is a station for lifelong learning. And that's why we want you to get this course as a thank you gift. You will definitely learn something new from listening to All Sides today, and you will learn something in this course. And the best thing is, you can give any amount right now and get this thank you gift. We did not pick a specific level. We're not telling you the amount to give. The amount to give is up to you. What we need is to hear from you this hour. So give at WOSU.org right now or call us 866-897-9678. This is an in-depth AI course that you can do at your own pace. There are 46 modules, and you can watch them at any time you want. After you make a gift this hour, WOSU is going to send you an email with a link to access the course. But we need to hear from you first. And we just heard from Barbara in North Canton. Thank you, Barbara, for your gift. And Neil Lynch in Columbus. Thank you, Neil, for joining us today. We need to hear from you at 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And if you listen to All Sides daily, then now is the time to show your support. Show that this station is a part of your life. In recent months especially, if you have relied on the station for important information about all the changes happening in Washington and how those decisions could impact life in Ohio, we're asking you to make a gift. We've been digging deep into the higher education bill, Senate Bill 1. We've looked at K-12 education and funding in Ohio. We've covered immigration. We've talked to the Haitian community in Springfield. 89.7 NPR News brings you news you trust. Support the coverage you count on and give at WOSU.org. Support public radio and get a thank you gift in return. Again, you could give it any amount right now to get access to the AI Fundamentals course as your thank you gift. But it's for this hour only. Once the hour ends, the offer ends. So give right now. You have about 35 minutes remaining in order to get this offer. So once the hour ends, this offer goes away as well. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And Peter, I mentioned that no previous tech experience is needed, that you're going to teach them what they need to know to be more productive, make more money, and get time back. So let's talk about that that make more money piece. How in your course are you helping people make more money?
That's a great question. I think Josh touched on it earlier of the most fundamental thing as a small business, whether it's profit, non-profit, is actually understanding your customers. Right? That is the fundamental building block of absolutely everything. And you alluded to it just then, Amy. It's like, especially during the last few months, if you've relied on NPR, right, you understand it speaks to the fact that NPR understands its place in the ecosystem and what its audience is looking for from NPR. The thing you can do with AI is you can mine that data and you can get so specific and then say, okay, I've just written this landing page, or I've just written this. Here's my ideal customer. Get my ideal customer to review this landing page for me and tell me in advance what they're going to respond to, what they're going to like, what they're not going to like. The biggest wins in AI right now is not the big sexy stuff. It's the I don't want to do that job anymore, or I'm not very good at doing that job as it happens, or I can't afford the $10,000 a month consultant to do that piece of the business. The average small business owner is doing about 18 jobs, of which they are trained to probably do one. And they're juggling all these balls. Like, why not just offset that to AI and go, you know what, you can do that for me. So I think that we found people in the mastermind. I was just reading a testimony that came in a couple of minutes ago, and he's doubled his revenue, 250% increase in revenue in the last 3 months. And his main thing was around pricing. He was a coach. And I was like, have you actually asked your ideal customer how much they'd be willing to pay you? He's like, well, how do I do that? I'm like, well, you just, here's your ideal customer. Ask it how much they're willing to pay per hour for your coaching. And his coaching rates have gone from $200 an hour to $995 an hour, which has it resulted in less actual customers? Yes, but a 5 times more revenue per customer is substantially more. So he's now earning 200% more and doing half as much work as he was. And we repeatedly and reliably see that result when people start using AI.
Support 89.7 NPR News right now. Make a gift in any amount and get access to the AI Fundamentals course hosted by Peter Swain. And that will be your thank you gift this hour, but it's for this hour only. Thank you, Elizabeth Bash from Columbus. Thank you, Elizabeth. And we also heard from Sharon Williamson from Frankfort. Thank you so much. And Kothawi from Blacklick. Thank you for your gifts of support today. This hour only, we are offering the AI's Fundamentals course as a thank you gift. It is for this hour only. And we have that special offer. Give in any amount right now, and we will send you a link in order to access this course. It's a win-win. You will be able to learn how to be more productive in your life, perhaps make more money, but you'll also be supporting public radio. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Josh, I wanted to ask you about that idea of not just the make more money perspective, but the be more productive perspective. Whenever you're talking to organizations as the AI dude, are you telling people they can do more with less if they just use the technology in the right way?
Yeah, absolutely. And Peter made a great point talking about, like, what is your ideal customer profile? So a big thing that I focus on when I'm working with nonprofits and other organizations is creating personas and understanding who you're speaking to. And really, you know, as Peter was saying, it's like, okay, ask them what they think. Well, you really can do that by training the model. And I believe that prompt engineering and training are your two most important things. And when I say training, it's not, you know, signing up for Peter's course and making a donation today so you have access to that. But it's about the way that you are teaching the model who they are and what role they're trying to play. So by providing publicly accessible information, by providing it specific, you know, details and data that you have on your, you know, clients or your customers that you're trying to work with, the content that is going to be output is going to be from that perspective. So now you can get into deep level psychographics, understanding intent, interest, motivation from these clients, customers, and what is their persona to get them to do what you want them to do. And being able to speak to them the way you want to be spoken to. So going beyond quantitative and really focusing on qualitative data to pull that information out. And to that point, I can now not only see how they're going to react and rehearse conversations before I have that with this ideal customer, but create segmented communication journeys based upon who I'm speaking to. Could I have done this before without AI? Absolutely. But do you have time within your day and on your 10,000 things on your to-do list? Absolutely not. So now we have that superpower to be doing more with less resources at scale.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and you were just listening to Josh Hirsch, founder of the AI Dude. He is a leading expert in digital communications and artificial intelligence integration for organizations. Also with us is Peter Swaim, who helps people and companies decode artificial intelligence through his talks, courses, and books. He's the author of Mastering the Fundamentals of AI from Basics to Brilliance. And Peter, earlier in the hour, you gave the example of how not, if you want to use AI, but you're not a business owner, you're not a small business owner, but if you just want to use it in your personal life, you gave the example of helping teach your son how to read by creating a book about your son. Can you give us another example of maybe someone who's taken your course and what they've used it for in their personal life as opposed to a business?
Sure. Before I do that, if I could just piggyback on something Josh said, if that's
Sure,
okay.
go for it.
I think one of the reasons people miss this is I'm trying to deliver this analogy. I've delivered it on stages. It hasn't landed yet. So this might be the time it does. This might not be. We'll see. Right. The thing about it's the game of Monopoly. I want to talk about the game of Monopoly for a second. Everybody knows that what you do is you buy every property that you land on. Full stop. That's how you win Monopoly. You don't hoard cash. There's no good reason to hoarding the cash because the property is worth more than the cash. And that even extends to the utilities, like the electricity company and the water company. You buy them, even though they never make you more money than they cost you, because then you might be able to trade them later for something else. If you were to change the rules of Monopoly to say every time you pass go, you get $220 instead of 200, you wouldn't change the way you play the game. However, if you were to change the rules of Monopoly to say every time you pass go, the bank will 10x your bank balance, it would change the way you play the game because cash would now be worth more than property. What Josh and I are talking about, and it's quite frustrating, by the way, being on a show with somebody as smart as Josh, because I actually agree with everything he says, which is not as much fun as when you put up against like crappy people. Sorry for the language. So that was a veiled compliment. What Josh and I are saying is, I think I speak on behalf of both of us, don't misunderstand this as a $200 to $220 rule change. This is not a you were getting $200 to pass and go, you're now getting 220. That's not what this is. This is a one rule change, just AI, but it's a we're going to 10x your money every time you go around, which means you have to approach the entire game that you're playing differently. So it's kind of beholden on companies, and I find, and I don't know about Josh, but I find most of the people that speak against AI or haven't done the things or this, they haven't even tried it. Like the only thing that I'm asking for is people is like a suspension of disbelief. Don't believe me. Just try it. Try it first. And once you've tried it, if you then disagree, fair enough. That's your prerogative. But these conversations are happening in a vacuum, and that's quite dangerous. So, answering your question, sorry, I just wanted to bring that in. I think the most
I think your
impactful.
Monopoly analogy held. I'm with you. There you
You know,
go.
okay,
Yeah, I
held.
like
I'm
it.
getting
Yeah.
there. It's like the eighth time. I'm waiting for it to, like, yeah, in that room. There's probably three examples. They're all very, very similar. We do a course to help people author a book in a weekend with AI assistance. Thinking like AI as a ghostwriter. This isn't AI writing the book. It's you writing the book with AI's help. And so far through that course, a gentleman called Rick Nelson has been through that. Rick has cerebral palsy, and he literally can only write with a cursor from one thumb. And using generative AI, he was able to write a book in a weekend. This guy has a double doctorate in business and in public administration. I don't even understand how you write a doctorate with a one cursor flick of a hand. But he is an incredibly smart man, but he doesn't have the ability to communicate. And with generative AI, it can take on his voice, as Josh said, and it can actually produce. I've seen the same results for a lady called Victoria Esner, who's with us now, who is legally blind. Same thing, same issues, and same solutions. But maybe the most inspirational one. I won't say her name because it wouldn't be fair. But she walked up to me at an event and said, can I make a confession? I'm like, I sure. Not sure I'm the right person, but okay. And she said, I was diagnosed with cataracts 5 years ago. And this charity delivers food to me. But because I couldn't read the labels, I was just throwing it away. And then just clicking on the first button in Deliveroo, or Uber Eats or DoorDash, I was just clicking the first button and whatever I got is whatever I got because I couldn't read. And I was too embarrassed to tell them I couldn't read. I was like, okay. And she's like, and you taught me ChatGPT Vision on a challenge that we did. And she said, I now use it to take a picture of the food they've sent me and take a picture of the label and use the audio to read out to me and tell me what it is that I'm eating. I'm like, wow. And so I'm not done. I navigated through the airport to get to this event, courtesy of AI and Vision. She's like, I was taking pictures of the boards to work out what gate I needed to go to. And I was using ChatGPT to say, well, I'm standing here and I can see this. Where do I need to walk in order to get to this C65? Hmm. I was like, there's some really amazing things, stories like that, where you've got, I think it's 6 million people in North America that are currently less able, that could be empowered and be productive and out there doing amazing things courtesy of generative AI. So I think there's quite a few of those I've got, and they're probably more special to me than the money that comes with the business wins. When you see somebody unlocked and unleashed, it's truly inspirational.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Amy Jurevich. And it's a show built with you, our listener, in mind. We ask, what are people talking about? And develop shows that are relevant to listeners in Central Ohio and beyond. This show is truly local. You can only find it on public radio, and this station depends on listener support. We have a very special offer for this hour only, and you are running out of time this hour. This offer is only available for the next 23 minutes. Give in any amount and we will send you Peter Swain's AI Fundamentals course as your thank you gift. Truly, you can give any amount. We're looking for participation this hour. We are asking you to show your support for public radio and pick the amount you want to give, whether it be $5 a month or a one-time gift of $50 or a one-time gift of $100, you decide right now. And in return, you can access a 17-chapter course that will teach you all the ins and outs of artificial intelligence. You can use what you learn in your personal and professional life to save time, make money, and be more productive. It's a win-win because you'll also be supporting public radio, and it'll be a gift that fits into your budget, so you get to pick the amount. And you will walk away with knowledge of a growing industry in the tech sector, AI. Give right now. Join us at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thank you to Connie and Roger Long from Worthington. Thank you for joining us. We also heard from Mary Donahue from Dublin, and we heard from Nicole Tankovich. Thank you so much for joining us today. I need to stress that this offer is for this hour only. Once the hour ends, that's it. You won't be able to pick this course as a thank you gift. All you have to do is give this hour, and then WOSU will send you a link in your email, and you will have access to this course. Again, we have about 21 minutes remaining in the hour. Give any amount, and WOSU will send you an email with instructions on how to take this course. And your gift supports public radio. When you give today, you get a great thank you gift, and you will become the power behind the future of public radio in Central Ohio. Listener support is the foundation of our budget. We're a public service radio station. We cannot run without listener support. You pick the amount right now, $5 a month, $10 a month, a one-time gift of $50 or $75 or $100. Pick the amount and give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You'll also be supporting All Sides, a show that digs deep into issues important to Central Ohio. We cover it all for you. We are a local show covering Columbus and Central Ohio. We cover national issues, but make sure to bring an Ohio perspective. Give now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And Josh, you were nodding along as Peter was telling those stories. Have you seen the use of AI helping those with disabilities be able to do things they never thought they could do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now it's giving you a voice when you can't speak. Now it's giving you eyes when you can't see. Now it's giving you cognitive abilities that you might not have otherwise had. And it's such a great use of accessibility, you know, and I don't even think when, you know, as things continue to develop, that may not have been an initial outcome with what they were trying to accomplish, but it's really, you know, when we're talking about superpowers, you now are giving someone access to the world that they were limited to as a result of their disability, and now they have the abilities to do more. It's incredible.
And Josh, you know, some of the controversy around AI, there's a lot of it, but it's also how it seems to be getting into our lives. It knows a lot about us. Do you worry about that, or do you feel like it's just people have to get more comfortable with that idea?
And I'll go back to what I said before about the ethical and responsible use of AI. Think about our digital footprint, right? We're all out there on the internet. If you go to Google right now and you put in your name, it's going to bring back a lot of stuff about you. Some is good, some is accurate, some is not. And we know the same thing true about generative AI. At its core, it's bias because it's based upon data that's housed within these you know, LLMs, large language models, which is basically just a repository of all this data that's been scrubbed out there. So, you know, practice versus preaching, I am a firm believer of we're never going to put personal identifiable information into a tool like ChatGPT. We're going to anonymize that data, but still know that there's quantitative and qualitative data that's going to help me drive the outputs I'm looking for. Now, you may be working within a closed system. There are ways that you could provide personalized information if you're building your own LLM and it's all living within a closed environment. But knowing that I'm out there, I have a little less hesitation and concern because, once again, I'm a digital native. I was basically born with a smartphone in my hand. I've been using, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, so I've been living with technology and have less trepidation, but am a firm believer on if you are using AI whatsoever within your organization, you must, and this is the biggest soapbox I'm going to stand on, have an AI usage policy. You need to have guardrails in place to say what is acceptable and what is not. Because right now, most likely within your organization, you have colleagues and employees who are using AI. You've got a BYO AI policy happening. And without having clear delineation of the proper ethical and responsible use of it, they may be putting in, you know, proprietary client information that should not be necessarily going into that. So having guardrails in place through a policy is a must.
Yeah, and Peter, you're nodding your head. Do you feel AI is changing so quickly? I feel for organizations that don't have that AI policy because they probably feel like they're playing catch up mode all the time.
Yeah, as I said, bringing myself and Josh on at the same time when we both agree with everything is maybe not the most fun radio, but there's so many different angles to this. One, you know, Zoom is going to transcribe everything and it's going to mine everything. So anytime you're there, if you sent the file to your colleague via Gmail, well, they scraped it and they indexed it as well. My Samsung Smart TV in the UK recently, because of cookie laws, has to say how many people it shares my data with. This is my TV, not my internet, my TV. And I can tell you as of this morning, it's 265 data providers. Every time I turn on my TV, it says, we're going to share your data with 265 providers. Please press here to say okay or turn off your TV. There are my two
Those
choices.
are your two. Okay, cool.
So, but that's, as Josh said, that's been happening for all of us for 30, 40 years. We haven't been presented with it in a way that is so obvious, but this data sharing is permeates every part of our life. But we did a survey recently. I actually wrote another book that's on Amazon now. It's about shadow AI, which is the phenomenon Josh is talking about of AI usage that isn't reported within companies. And it's estimated to be around 80%. So 80% of people in a workforce are using AI in some description without any usage policy whatsoever. And we see people like the NBA, and you know, no aspersion to them as a company, but their response was ban it. Well, in the history of never has never worked in prohibition. It just doesn't work. It's never worked as a policy ever in any society. You can't ban something like this. When the internet came around, people weren't allowed to use Wiki at university. It was banned. Well, people just go and use it anyway. So a usage policy versus a that is flexible and fluid enough, because what you can't have in a large business is a an edict, because by the time you've written the edict, agreed the edict, and disseminated the edict down through the company, well, AI has changed. So what is and isn't acceptable is this fascinating conversation, because Josh referred to it earlier as ethics, and I don't disagree with the word. But when you actually unpack the word ethics, ethics is a collective decision on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Well, at the beginning of Facebook ads, there was something called lookalike audiences, where you advertise to someone that looks like your audience. And that was regarded as unethical when it came around. There's lots of people that were against it. But because everybody then did it, if you wanted to be competitive, you didn't have a choice but to do it. And it is now regarded as an ethical practice because everybody's doing it. So what does ethical mean? If I was to take this image of us and put your logo in the background to put on a blog post to say I was really pleased and happy to be here, is that okay? Yes or no? Because that image doesn't exist and I made it. If I put me in the studio with you, is that okay? Because we were in a digital studio, but we weren't in a physical studio. If I then replaced us being hugged by Barack Obama, is that okay? Probably, I think we're all in the probably not world now. But this is the kind of conversations that companies need to be having with proprietary data, with confidential data, with marketing teams, anyone that's in ingress or egress of information from their company needs to be saying, okay, you can do that, you can't do that, because it's going to affect the brand of the company when the worst case scenario happens.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides. And one thing we know about public radio listeners is that they are lifelong learners. Do you learn something new every time you listen to NPR on WOSU? If the answer is yes, then make a gift today to support your trusted source for news and information. And we have a great thank you gift this hour for all of those lifelong learners out there who want to learn more about artificial intelligence. This course will give you the fundamental skills you need to build what you need to build and what you want to build. Everyone out there is going to use AI for a different purpose, and this course will help you understand how to best use it for yourself. The transferable skills in the modules in this course will be invaluable to you. The lessons are step by step, the entire course is self-paced, and you can spend less than an hour a day and you will learn something new from this course. You will learn how to use AI to enhance your business, help your career, or to simply make a few things in your life a little bit easier. And you have to give right now to support public radio. It is just this hour that we're offering this course as a thank you gift. Make a gift in any amount and you will get access to this course. But we mean it. Give in any amount, but it has to be this hour. Decide what public radio is worth to you. Decide what fits into your budget and make a gift. But it is for this hour only. We have 12 minutes remaining in the hour. We're hoping to hear from 15 more people before the hour ends. So we have 12 minutes to hear from 15 more people. When this hour is over, this offer is over, so give now before the hour ends. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Carol Rausch from Columbus, and also thanks to Erica Darlin from Westerville. And thanks to Carol and Erica, we have 13 more to go this hour, 13 more. Today, we're talking about artificial intelligence and the rise of AI in recent years. This is not something that's going to fade away. It's not going away. You need to understand AI to have the skills you need to succeed in the future. And today, we have a wonderful opportunity to support the station and get this great thank you gift. This show covers it all, from the news of the day to politics to gardening to cooking, from the Reporter Roundtable to Tech Tuesday. This show covers it all for you, our listeners. If having the show is important to you and you want a great thank you gift in return, give in any amount before this hour ends. Thank you to Anne from Mount Vernon. Now we have 12 more to go this hour. Thanks, Anne, for your gift of support. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Now, Josh, I work, at WOSU, which means Ohio State University, and there's a lot of talk about AI whenever it comes to universities and the policies that they need. And it goes back to that ethics thing of like using AI to help you write a paper versus you writing the paper yourself. What do you tell people whenever they talk to you about that, where they're just like, oh, no, there can't be any AI at a university?
You know, I think that the concern of did AI write this paper? It's a very valid concern. However, we want to ensure that any direct output we get from a tool like ChatGPT isn't what we're copying and pasting and sending it out as an assignment. First off, you're doing yourself as a disservice as a student. Yes, you're able to get your assignment done faster, but it is a launching point. It is a different way to take perspectives and as a blank page syndrome eliminator. It's a way to get your ideas started. Taking that output after you've gone through multiple iterations and then revising it further. Are you going to stop someone? Like, think back to when calculators first came into play.
Oh, I think Josh froze for a little bit, but
App
Peter, oh,
assignments.
there we go. There we go. So you, Josh, just repeat what you said. You said, think about when calculators came into play, then what happened?
Right. So with calculators, people saw that as cheating. And I don't see that as cheating. As all they had is a new tool available to them to make their assignment more effective, to make their job better. It's the same thing when people say that AI is cheating. And I'm like, okay, well, you're working in a business industry, you're tracking your key performance indicators, your KPIs, you're pulling your analytics into a spreadsheet and letting the spreadsheet run the formula. Is that cheating? No, you're using the tools that are available to you to accomplish what you're trying to do. You're not calculating it by slide rule or by hand on paper. It's the same thing with AI. AI is just a tool to help you accomplish, not do it for you. It's going to get you to the 5-yard line. We as humans need to step in, complete our assignment, and get us across the goal line.
And Peter, do you think that maybe if you take your AI fundamentals course and learn more about AI, that'll benefit teachers, university professors, maybe if they understand it a little bit more, understand what their students are doing because their students are going to use it anyway. Will that help?
Well, I certainly think they should do that, but my number one advice for everyone in the in this space is to just use it for 15 minutes a day. And as Josh said at the beginning, you could just sit down with AI 15 minutes and you could literally just prompt it. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I've been told to use you for 15 minutes. This sounds like a crazy idea. What should we do? And just let it play. Because this isn't a subject that you can understand intellectually. It's a subject you have to understand emotionally. I think on the subject of universities, however, there's two things that always bug me inside this conversation. The first is it's so easy to remove this issue if universities want. All you have to do is ask a kid, well, what did you learn whilst you wrote this essay? I mean, it's literally that simple a test. Because if you wrote it yourself, you learned something. When you did the re you learned something. If you just took a copy and paste from ChatGPT, you didn't learn anything. It's such an easy way to just, well, great. Now do a 3-minute presentation and tell us what you learned. And watch them just stammer, like, oh, okay, you didn't actually write anything. But the bigger thing for me is I genuinely think universities and educational establishments have lost sight of what they're trying to actually achieve. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, so this is a subject that is kind of important to me. You're supposed to be preparing my children for the workforce they're going to enter. You are not supposed to be preparing them for the workforce that, respectfully, people like me and Josh are actively removing. Like, I don't want my kids to have the ability to write 5,000 words about Cromwell and his effect on royalty. I don't care. What I do care is that they master this because the decision point of an AI-first world is done. Pandora's box is open, and this is a very unusual view for an AI guy. I'm not sure I like the fact the box got opened. If I could undo it and put it back in its box, I maybe might do that because there are some real concerns that we're not tackling as a species. But the box is open. I don't like paying tax, but I do that. I don't like getting health checkups, but I do that. You've got to play the game that's presented to you. And we now live in an AI-first world. So if we don't prepare our children for that workforce, they are going to be useless. From a productivity perspective, they will have no value. So universities need to, in my opinion, radically rethink their approach to this. And instead of trying to get rid of it, they need to embrace it and bring it in more versus pushing it out.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. You're running out of time to give this hour. Make a gift while you're thinking about it and before the hour ends. Thank you to Alan Jones from Columbus and David Detweiler from Groveport. We now have 10 more to go this hour, and we have about 5 minutes remaining. We just heard from Aaron Dumphy in Columbus, so that means 9 more to go this hour. That's how fast it can happen. And you can give right now in any amount, and you will get access to this AI course. We mean it. You can give any amount right now. What we're looking for is participation in this hour before the hour ends. We have 5 minutes to go in the hour, so don't wait. You are running out of time. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Not only do you get this helpful and valuable self-paced AI fundamentals course presented by Peter Swain as your thank you gift, but you're also going to be supporting public radio. Give right now. I want to say thank you to Eric Myers from Columbus, who wrote that he is looking forward to taking the AI course. Thank you for joining us today, Eric. And you get a thumbs up from Peter for that. And we also heard from Michelle Robinson in Columbus. Thank you so much. 7 more to go this hour. We can make this hour a success. You know, if you are already a sustaining member, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for joining us in the past. But maybe you can make an additional gift this hour. That additional gift will be a great way to get this great thank you gift because you can pick any amount, but also that additional gift will support the station. The gift will support your listening in the months to come, especially with new information coming out of Washington, D.C., not just daily, but hourly. You are going to depend on public radio more and more in the months to come. So consider making that small additional gift. You'll make this hour a great success. You'll be one of the 7 more people we hope to hear from in the next few minutes. And you'll get access to this AI fundamentals course. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And Peter, as I said, we only have a couple of minutes left, but just one last pitch from your course. What is something else that they'll learn whenever they take the course that will be very helpful in their life?
We really just teach them of AI is the ultimate creative partner, but the human skill is to give it the container, is to give it the context, is to say, okay, here are the guardrails, here's what I need you to do, and to let it go play. And unless you do that, what a lot of people we found is they saw something on YouTube and it's like how to do all your social media in 15 minutes, and they pick it up and they get intoxicatingly mediocre results and they get confused because they're seeing NPR and CNN and Fox and all these, you know, huge media houses talk about AI, but their experience isn't the same. Unfortunately, whenever we enter any kind of new space, snake oil salesmen pile in and they turn it into a marketing tool. And that's not what I think, that's not what I stand for, and it certainly isn't what Josh stands for. What we stand for is you still have to do the work to understand how to use this, but once you do, you understand the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. They're very different, but if you try and use a hammer as a screwdriver, a screwdriver as a hammer, you don't get the results. So this course was designed specifically for people with zero understanding. If you can type in a browser, that's all you need to be able to do. And it's going to teach you how to give AI the context to make it literally a superpower. If I had to choose right now between my phone, my PC, or access to AI, I would choose access to AI over both of those two things in a heartbeat. It is the one thing I wouldn't lose in my workplace. And I think for the 10,000 people that have gone through this in our programs, 10,000 and something, they would all say the same. As soon as you see what this can do, when your eyes are open to it, there is no way back because it's such a powerful and such an amazing experience. So thank you so much for having me, and look forward to welcoming all those people into our world.
Yep, Peter Swain, thank you so much for joining us. He helps companies and people decode artificial intelligence. He is also the person behind the AI Fundamentals course. Thank you, Peter, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Josh Hirsch, the founder of the AI Dude, a leading expert in digital communications and artificial intelligence integration for organizations. Josh, thanks again for joining us today.
Great day, Amy. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
And this is the last couple of minutes of this hour. We want to say thank you to Agnes Ray from Columbus and Eric Karlick from Columbus. We also heard from Jeff Davis. That means we have 7654, four more to go this hour, four more to go, and we can beat our goal. Give in any amount right now, and you are going to get access to this course called Mastering the Fundamentals of AI from Basics to Brilliance. Make a gift in any amount. You'll support public radio, and then WOSU will send you a link to access this amazing and helpful AI course. It's a study at your own pace online course. It teaches you the fundamentals of using AI, and what you learn can be used in both your personal and professional life. Give in any amount before the hour ends. We're down to the last minute, so you have to give right now in order to get access to this course. Give in any amount, and this course will be your thank you gift. This is listener-supported WOSU FM at HD1 Columbus. And we just heard from Jeff Davis in Columbus and also David in Westerville. And we just heard from Deborah Mitchell in Hilliard. Thank you so much. We have just one more to go this hour. We'll meet this goal right now. This is the last few seconds for you to access this course, but also support public radio. Give in any amount before the hour ends, and this course will be yours as a thank you gift. Support us today. Thanks for your gift at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.